We are going through Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. There you go. We are going through, let me do that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like you guys are amplified. Wow. If anyone needs a Bible, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. It's important that we not only hear the Word of God, but we see it. There's something that actually happens when we read the Word of God. It just gets branded into our soul. And we need it. We need the Word branded into our souls. So we're going through Matthew chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We have come to chapter 6, verse, and we will be in verse 24 through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus speaking his most famous message. In chapters 5, 6, and 7, we're a little over halfway. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to you. He says, "No one can serve two masters." For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is treasure. Therefore, now that word is maybe the most important word of this message, believe it or not. I'll get to it. Therefore, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, speaking of King Solomon, in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you're bringing today. As usual, I need it more than anybody. Of that, I'm sure. But I pray, Father, that you would speak to everyone here, Lord, as well, that you would unlock and free people, Lord. Lord, you say in your word in John chapter 8, if the Son of Man sets you free, you're free indeed. And so teach us about freedom today. Teach us about salvation. I thank you for the worship, Lord. We can just open up our hearts to you, because it's to you we belong. It's to you we... You're our life, Lord. And so show us about all of that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Speaking of Solomon, hey, Solomon, can you bring me up a watch? Not King Solomon. Solomon, Solomon. Same first and last name. So verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the other, rather to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and treasure. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is your master. In John 13, verse 13, Jesus says this, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am your master. It's a good thing that you call me master. So what does that mean? If Jesus Christ is your master, what does that mean practically in your life? What does that mean? I like what the Apostle Paul, he put it this way, because he is your master, it says you make it our or your goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. You make it your goal to please him. That's what we do with a master. We make it our goal to please him. If Jesus is your master, and if you're a Christian, the Bible says he is your master. You have made him your master. You make it your goal to please him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. The good news is that the Bible makes it oh so clear that Jesus is a loving, kind, merciful master, particularly with the whole legacy we have in this country with slavery. That's not necessarily a word that brings us the warm and fuzzies, master. But the Bible says that there is a master who's loving, kind, and merciful, Jesus Christ. In one of the most revealing, I would say stunning passages of the Bible about the kind of master Jesus is, the story is told, actually it's a parable. It's called the parable of the talents, the story of the talents. The talents is a unit of money at the time that Jesus was taught. It was a lot of money, a talent of gold, talent of silver. In the parable of the talents, there's three servants and one master. The master represents Jesus. To the first servant, the master gave 5 talents. That was a lot of money. To the second servant, he gave 2 talents. And to the third servant, he gave 1 talent. That was still a lot of money. The first servant with the 5 talents, he went off and he used his 5 talents to make more, 5 more talents. He went to his master with the 10 talents, and the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Speaking of the master, enter into the joy of your master. The second servant, who had 2 talents, he went out with the 2 talents, and he made 2 more talents. And he went to his master, and master said, well done, good and faithful servant. enter into the joy of your master. And then the third servant, who had one talent, says that he went and buried it. And when he went to the master, the master called him a wicked servant. Called him a wicked servant. Why? Because the servant said he buried his talent because he was a hard master. He says, you wicked man. You're calling me a hard master? It is wicked to call Jesus Christ a hard master. That's wicked. This is what the Bible says. Don't kill the messenger. This is what the Bible says. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, Jesus says this. Let's read this together. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is? That's where you put over a bull or a calf that's plowed. It's like what they use for plowing. I love this, and that's why I bring this up a lot. That word yoke, this is Jesus speaking about himself. Come to me, all you who are laboring, for my yoke is easy. That word yoke in the, rather, my yoke is easy. That word easy, in the original Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, that word easy is the word krestos. It's used seven times. This is the only time it's translated easy. Anyone know what it was translated the other times? Anyone? You know it, but you won't say it. Oh, you have my notes. Oh, right. Most often, it's translated kind. It's also translated gracious or good. So if we can have it again, John. It says, what he's saying here is, or actually you can go to the next one. He says, actually you can go back. Go back. So it's the final word there. This is Jesus speaking about himself. Come to me, for my yoke is kind and my burden is light. Very well-known verse in the Bible, Romans chapter 2. Can we have that? Many of you have heard this. The kindness of God leads you to repentance. Repentance means turning around, doing whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, and going to Jesus. The kindness of God leads you to repentance. And so really what Matthew 11:30, what it is my yoke is kind and my burden is light. Jesus, your master, if you're a Christian, he is kind. And many people never give their life to Jesus Christ, and they go into eternity, an eternity without God, eternity of it's damnation, it's hell, because they went through life believing the lie or convincing themselves he was a hard taskmaster. No, he's not. He's a master, but he's kind, and he's gentle. David in Psalm 18 said, "Your gentleness has made me great." Not a whip, a scourge. Your gentleness has made me great. He's kind, he's gentle, he's filled with joy. Enter into the joy of your master. He said to the people, he's loving. He's all those things. Jesus Christ, kind, gentle, filled with joy, loving. He's a master. But the Bible does say, and no, it couldn't be clearer, he also requires complete obedience. not partial, absolute, absolute obedience. And so the kind and gentle and joy-filled, loving Master, he also says this. And Jesus said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Just another way of saying this, by the way, is this verse, this next verse. It's in Matthew. Sorry, below I have Matthew 21. I think they're both Matthew 22. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He requires that you love him. Love him with your life is what your master does require. So what does a life look like that's doing this? I turn again to the Apostle Paul. He says in Philippians, this is a man who he knew his master was loving, kind, filled with joy, but he also understood that he required absolute obedience. He required a love with all the mind, soul, body, strength. He said, I do not consider myself as having yet laid hold of what Jesus Christ has for me. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Just so when Jesus Christ is your master, you forget what is behind. And the 1,000, the 10,000 failures that you have, and you just go for it to reaching out. And he's not hard to get, but we do need to seek him with all our heart, all our strength. He wants our attention. He wants our love. And laying hold, grabbing a hold what he's laid hold of for us. That's what, if he's my Lord, he's my master, this one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I reach forward to lay hold of what lies ahead, what he has laid hold of for me. And so, with all that in mind about what a master is, Jesus says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Again, I'm in Matthew 6:24, if you have your Bibles open. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon, some of the translations say money, that's not the word. The word's mammon. Mammon is a word derived from a Hebrew word for treasure. So really what it's saying is you cannot serve. Do we have that, John? Thanks. You cannot serve God and treasure. You just can't do it. So whatever your treasure is, you can't have one master of Jesus Christ and another master, whatever your treasure is, whatever. Some people don't care about money, but they, believe me, they have a treasure. You got to worship something. We were born, we were created by God to be worshipers. We worship something. So, I think most of you in this room would say that Jesus Christ is your master. I don't think all of you would, but most of you would. Say that Jesus Christ is your master. However, I have a question for you. All you who maintain that Jesus Christ is your master, are you serving two masters? Are you serving two masters? And you ask, well, how can I know? How can I know I'm serving two masters? Well, Jesus answers the question. And so, I'm about to tell you something that's going to hurt. This is really going to hurt. You know, when a surgeon takes his scalpel and cuts you open, it's for your healing. Revelation, I think it's 19, says Jesus comes with a sword in his mouth. That sword is used for judgment against his enemies, but with his children, he uses for circumcision, for healing, for surgery. How can I know I have, whether I'm serving two masters? Well, Jesus answers in verse 25, he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. In other words, if you're worrying about your life, you have two masters. Therefore, and circle that word. Again, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. If you're worrying about your life, you have two masters. Or you can say as well, you have two treasures. Last summer, throughout the summer on Wednesday nights, as a church, we had Zoom meetings with the missionaries around the world that we support, and they taught us through the book of Genesis. And on one Wednesday night, Pastor Brian from Peru, he answered a question, and I remember the question, it was on this verse. And I remember someone said, well, how do I know what my master is or what my treasure is? And Brian's answer was, what do you think about? What do you think about? If you're caught up thinking about, worrying about money, money is one of your masters. If you're worrying about your career is your master. If you're worrying about your kids have become your master. If you are worrying about what people think about you or what you have to do to please absolutely everyone around you, that's your master. If you're worrying about your health is one of your masters. Now, all this is a problem. I would say a massive problem, because what does Jesus say? He says no one can have two masters. Because what he's saying is, if you have a servant, a master, other than Jesus Christ, that master's going to win out. If you're worrying a lot about money, the money's going to win out. If you worry a lot about your career, that career, it's going to win out. If you're worrying a lot about your kids, they got to be happy. There's soccer games on Sunday morning, so like we gotta skip church for this season, that it's going to win out, pleasing everyone. Believe me, that'll win out over the Lord. If everyone around you so desperately wants, if everyone around you who you so desperately want to please wants you to keep your mouth shut up about God, you're going to keep your mouth shut. If they want you to show a lot more skin when you dress, even though the Bible teaches modesty, you're going to show more skin. It's going to win out. If they want you to drink a little more than you know you should drink, you're going to drink a little more. This is what Jesus is saying. No one can serve two masters. Either he will be loyal to one and not the other. The worrying thing is a big deal to Jesus. Ever wonder why so much space is given about worry here? It's a lot of space. This is like, what was it, 8 or 9 verses? Or 10, or I think it's 10 verses. A lot of verses. Jesus is speaking about money. Verse 25, I say to you, do not worry. Verse 28, why do you worry? Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. And so why is this worrying thing such a big deal to him? Because he is a kind, loving, faithful master. The Bible says He's jealous for you. Exodus 20, verse 5, the Lord says, I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. Jealous for what? For all of you. You're his son, you're his daughter. The Bible says he jealously yearns for that relationship with you and does not want to share that relationship, that master relationship, with anybody. Go with me to verse 32. It says, for after all these things, what things? Just treasures. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, just in this particular context, think unbelievers, people who don't believe God, people who Jesus Christ is not their Lord. And a Gentile is someone who's not a Jew. But in this context, just any unbeliever. So why are you worrying about your life, your body, your eating? That's what unbelievers, for all, verse 32, for after all these things that Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. What things? Money, career, your kids taken care of, pleasing, the health, pleasure, whatever. Those things, remember from a couple weeks ago when we discussed verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, money, sex, even admiration, careers. Those treasures are not wrong. They're not bad. It's when they become the master. That's when it is a problem. So you say, Pastor Steve, what do? I worry a lot. And it sucks every bit of life out of me. It's strangling me. So what am I supposed to do? I mean, Jesus says, do not worry. Worry just happens. I can't just change it, flip a switch, and the worry is gone. It's like part of me. It's part of who I am, my identity. I worry. Well, you do what Jesus just told you to do prior to these verses. That's why we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, by the way. Go to verse 6 of chapter 6. Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Now go to verse 18, rather verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then when you go to verse 33, he brings it up not only before, but after. This glorious verse. Everyone in this room, you need to memorize this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God. You worry, what do? You pray. You fast. And let me suggest that when you pray, again, this wonderful verse, chapter 6, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father. When you pray, you get on your knees, and with everything that is in you, cry out, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for all my worrying, all my anxiety, It is sin, Lord. It's sin against you. Forgive me, Lord. Calvary Chapel, your worrying is sin. The world calls it something else. It's sin. Bible couldn't be any clearer. It's sin because when you worry, you're telling God, I don't believe you. In Hebrews 13:5, the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't believe you. In Philippians 4:19, the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't believe you, Lord. Exodus 34:7, the Lord says, the Lord is abounding in faithfulness. I don't believe you. In Lamentations 3:22, the Lord says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I don't believe you. That's sin. That is sin. Get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. This is all over. I'm dripping this stuff. Forgive me. Help me. Your word says I'm a gracious loving master. Help me, Lord. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says this, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Remember what it said? At the beginning of the sermon, that verse through which all the other verses are interpreted. Jesus says to those who had come to him, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter heaven. And week after week, I've been putting up this verse from Matthew 23, where Jesus said, oh, you religious leaders, you hypocrites. And he says to them, you are like whitewashed graves, tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones. And what have we been saying? Lord, I want to be beautiful on the inside, not just on the outside, just wear clothes to church, beautiful on the outside, whatever. I want to be beautiful on the inside. How do I do that? You don't worry. You give your worry over to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, even as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sins. Meaning, if we bring that worry into the light of the secret place, God, it's all here, the worry. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. A little more about worrying. And by the way, this is all to my own heart. If you think I am a person who never worries, don't be deceived. I speak from experience. But whenever you speak about this issue of worrying, anxiety, what verse do you have to? That's right, Philippians what? 4:6. You have to quote Philippians 4:6. I mean, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't quote Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now some of you are like, oh, I've done that and it didn't work. I still am filled with anxiety. Yeah, because you missed part of the verse. I'm convinced it's because you've missed part of the verse. Anyone want to guess? Thanksgiving. That's correct. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Our problem is we just pour out all the anxiety without obeying the verse. You got to do it with thanksgiving, meaning you pause, hit the pause button, and you start remembering before the Lord everything he's done in your life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's a beautiful heart. It's a painted beautiful, on the outside, not only on the outside, but on the inside. So pray, fast, seek Calvary Chapel. Seek first the kingdom of God instead of striving for money. Money being your master. Striving for career. Striving to make sure to please everyone all the time. So striving to make your kids happy no matter what. Seek first the kingdom of God. Identify who your master is and only seek him. Do not worry. Why do you worry? Do not worry. It's a big deal to Jesus. Now, another antidote against worrying, something that will kill your worrying if you really seek the Lord about it, I think the answer's sort of hidden. We're going to dig it up in verse 26 of Matthew 6. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So if nothing I've said at this point really registers, wow, do I hope this registers. You are valuable to the Lord. I put up this verse a few weeks ago and I didn't have time to speak about it as much as I would like to. 1 John 2:2. And he, this is speaking of Jesus, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Y él es la propiciación por nuestros pecados, y no solamente por los nuestros, sino también por los de todo el mundo. So he is the propitiation. Now, I mentioned recently, I gave a whole sermon on that from Romans 3. You can go look it up. It's that one verse. But there can hardly be a more important verse in the Bible than propitiation. Well, that's a problem. What in the world does it mean? Let me give you this illustration. You know, growing up, I was really into boxing. Now, you may love boxing. You may hate it. You may think it's evil. You may think it's the greatest thing. Just try to put that aside. But I watched a lot of boxing when I was a kid, and when one boxer is struck by another with a mighty blow, a propitiation is occurring. What do I mean by that? This is what I mean. The force behind the blow, the force behind the blow of the punch, of the mighty blow, the force is made up of weight and speed. The force, the weight behind the blow is transferred from one boxer to another. One boxer is absorbing the whole force, the whole might of that blow. He's absorbing it. A propitiation occurred. On the cross, a propitiation occurred. God the Son, Jesus Christ, was struck with a mighty blow by God the Father, with the full weight of the punishment for your sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 9 and 10, he, speaking of Jesus Christ, had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to strike him, to give a blow to him, a mighty blow. He has put him to grief when the Lord made his soul an offering for sin. That's speaking of the cross. Now, why in the world would it say that the Lord, it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus Christ? The answer is because you're really valuable to him. You're worth more than birds. You're worth more than a clothes. You're worth more than a career. The value that you have, the glory that God attributes to saving you from a life of darkness, from an eternity in hell, the value, the glory that happens when he makes you a son and daughter by his offering on the cross. Listen, a Christian is not supremely a man or woman who hears about Jesus Christ and that amazing life and he wants to follow his example. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is a man or woman who realizes that there's a huge consequence for their sin. And there was a propitiation for it, a mighty blow, a payment, and the payment is terrifying, it's eternal, it's hell. Jesus experienced hell on the cross. He was hit by hell on the cross for you, a propitiation. And a Christian is someone who's gone from death to life, darkness to light, by just declaring in their heart, thank you, Jesus, you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my Lord, and yes, you are my Master. Now, there's some of you in here who've never done that. You've never come to the Lord and said, you're my Savior, and you're now my only Master. You haven't done that. Well, you got a lot to worry about. But there are many of you who have. And I will tell you, that didn't happen to him only to forsake you in the middle of that thing that's causing worry in your life. He's faithful. He suffered a payment, a mighty blow for you. He was hit by hell for you. And now he's your shepherd. And Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. There, in other words, I have no lack. He's going to protect me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. if the worship team could come up at this point. And if you've been asked to pray, can you come up, please, at this time? Why should you not worry? Romans 8:32. God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You got no reason to worry. Because look at the verse. If God didn't spare his own son, but he struck him with a mighty blow. It says he delivered him up for us all. He struck him with a mighty blow. How shall he not, God not, with Jesus, also freely give you all things? You have nothing to worry about. If you could stand up, we're going to close with a worship song, and I'm going to ask you to come up and pray. I'm going to ask you to come up. If you're a person who have never in your life made Jesus your one and only master, I just want you to come up. The Bible says through a prayer of faith, you can go immediately. From a person who is who has a destiny in eternity, facing judgment and eternal judgment, to a person who experiences beginning now, at the time you cry out to God and you say, yes, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, I believe all this stuff, come on in. Right at that moment, the Bible says you become a son or a daughter of the living God. If you've never done that, I'd like you to come up, and I'd like you to take you through a simple prayer of faith. The Bible says that when that happens, when you pray that prayer, in an instant, the Holy Spirit invades your life and takes possession of you forever. If you've never done that in your life, come on up. It's a simple prayer of faith that we can lead you in. Why is it so that you say that seems too simple? It seems too easy. Well, it's simple and easy because it costs God so much. Can you imagine having to strike your son with a mighty blow? Or if you have an issue with worrying, just a part of your identity, or there's something going on right now in your life, come on up. You can't serve two masters. Come on up. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this time together. And I pray, Lord, that you would finish the business that you brought us here for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.